As our children are going downstairs, please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians 6. I'd like to speak on this will be our final message on the topic of the keys to deliverance. The key this morning being endurance. And I'd like to begin by reading the same text that we read last week. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always and keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we continue to give you all honor, glory, and praise today. We thank you for the abundant blessings that we have in our lives. We thank you for the privilege that we have to come into your house and to worship you. We thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit in this place and pray that you would continue to move by your might and power. God, we pray you grant your anointing upon your speaker this morning. Give me words, Lord, as I share your word, and give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit has for us today. And may it change us and make us more like you. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I've been reading this scripture as our text because it just reminds us and reinforces in us the concept and the reality that as far as our relationship with God and our place in this world, that we are at war, living for Jesus as described in Scripture is not a picnic. It's a struggle, and it's a fight, and it's a fight against many foes. Until recently, America was involved with two wars, the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. Some combine the two and say it's the war on terror, and I agree with that. But it was a war on two fronts, with great cost to both blood and treasure. And you and I, as members of God's army, and if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, whether you want it or not, you have been drafted by the Lord Jesus Christ to make a stand for His kingdom. And the battle that we're fighting is on many fronts. We're waging war against the enemy, as depicted here in this scripture. The enemy launching fiery darts against us. Why? For what reason? To rob us of our faith, the blessings of God upon our lives, but not only upon our lives, but all of those who are around us. God has called you to make a stand for Him, not just so that you can receive the wonderful gift of salvation and all the blessings that come with it, but that you can stand and believe God for your family, for your friends, for your workplace, for your neighborhood, for our communities, for this country. Did not Jesus say, when he taught us to pray that we're to pray for God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, not just in our lives, but everywhere. Brother Tongren mentioned that great scripture from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we'll be witnesses not only in Jerusalem, but to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what God has called us to fight for. And of course, we think of the spiritual struggle against the enemy of our souls, Satan, who is, as I've mentioned before, alive and well and living on planet earth, and trying to frustrate what God is doing in you and what God desires to do in the world around us. But there are so many other battles that we're facing. Just to recount what we've mentioned before, we're also in a struggle against sin. How many here, when you accepted Jesus, ceased to struggle with sin? No longer face temptation. Yes, you can raise your hand this morning. And if you do, you either got a great secret or you're sinning. And then, of course, there's the struggle with the flesh. Knowing how we should live for God. And I'm not talking about getting into sin, breaking God's commandments to love the Lord our God with all heart, mind, and soul, love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, I guess it's very similar. But there are times that we do not want to do what God has called us to do. We don't want to spend time with the Lord and grow in His grace and His knowledge and His truth. We don't want to come to church. And let me tell you, it's important that you come to church so that you can be encouraged. But it's also important that you come to church so that you can be an encouragement. God wants to use you. And He can't use you if you're sitting home watching Charles Stanley or some other TV minister. And I'm not trying to tear them down. But He doesn't care what you're doing. You can be watching in your bathrobe. It's important to be part of the body because the body needs you. We're involved in this struggle with our flesh that at times just doesn't want to do what God wants us to do and what we should do. Revolved against the struggle of persecution. If we know Jesus and we're living for Jesus, we may not experience the same persecution that's going on in China and Iran. And even today, even the secular world. And I don't know if it's tomorrow's Newsweek or if it's last week's Newsweek, but the title... or the cover article was "The War Against Christianity," written by not a Christian, not even a believer in God, by a former Muslim who has become an atheist, writing a pretty detailed report about the persecution that Christians are experiencing worldwide. And we might not experience the persecution to the same magnitude that they are over in the Muslim world or in China or some other places. But if we're truly serving Jesus, we're truly standing up for grace and truth, on some level we will experience persecution. And in all these things, God has called us to prevail. The scripture that stands out to me this morning in our struggle, especially with the theme of endurance, is verse 13 of our text. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." God has not only called you to wage a war, God has called you to be victorious. To the seven churches in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, to each one of those churches, God said to him who overcomes, "I will bless." Inherent in that is the thought, the ability, for God's people, no matter what adversity they're facing, that they can overcome. Because God would not give a promise to something that cannot be attained. John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is that that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We face an enemy on many fronts, but bless God, since we know Jesus, we have overcome. But we will only overcome as we, as the scripture that Jeremy shared today, when we wage war against the enemy with God's weapons. We've mentioned several already. Forgive me for the long intro, but repetition is good. If we want to see the enemy defeated, whichever enemy it is, we need to be a people of prayer. Prayer can move mountains. According to Jesus, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. You want to see God move? You pray. And when you pray, if you want to see God move, you believe. You say to this mountain, be thou removed, and do not doubt in your heart, it shall be done. We need to believe that God is, and God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, if we're to see our enemies defeated. And if we're to be victorious, we need to be obedient. An army that is undisciplined, an army that does not hear, that ignores, or willfully disobeys its leader, will not be an army that is successful. Because obeying and serving God and believing God for deliverance often requires us to do things. God not only wants us to believe for things to happen in our lives, in our families, in our communities, but often God wants us to do something about it. And if we just sit back and only believe in our heart, the Bible says, and not act upon it, faith without works is dead. And if we don't continue to live for Jesus Christ, not to rehash last Sunday, but let me tell you, adversity does not excuse you. I have found this in the things that I have faced in my life. I have been called to be a pastor, and that calling is a 24/7 thing. That's not something that I just exercise, I need to fulfill when everything is going good in my life. But even when things are going bad, I still need to do what God has called me to do. God doesn't say, well, He doesn't call me pastor. God doesn't say, well, my son, it's tough. Why don't you take a few weeks off? Why don't you take a month off? Take a couple of years off. Keep going. Now, God has given me, and God gives us enough to keep on going. But we need to continue to be obedient. But war is hard. You see it in our society, and the war on terror began 2003, I believe, maybe before that, with no tangible end in sight. You can see in the face of our public that the will to continue is diminishing, and for good reason. War is long, and war is fierce. I hope we never get callous to seeing the caskets come home. And I'm not saying that the men and women who have died in combat, their lives are in vain, or they should or should not continue to do so. That's why we need to pray for our leaders, and we need to stay in the Middle East as a country and do what needs to be done. And we need to pray until God says it's time for us to go home. We need to pray for our military leaders, that they hear the voice of God. War is fierce. War is long. And because it is, it can demoralize those who are fighting the fight. And the fourth key that I'd like to speak on, and it's intertwined with the other three, prayer, faith, and obedience, is that of endurance. Because endurance keeps all the other keys together. It keeps us fighting. Because if we don't have endurance, we can't pray the way God wants us to pray. We can't believe the way that we need to believe. And we won't obey, at least not the way that God has called us to obey. How important is endurance? Let me ask you, how important is faith to knowing Jesus? Everyone here would say, well, faith is incredibly important. It's primarily important. We're saved by grace through faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. And there's another part. And again, I'm not trying to separate, because prayer and faith and obedience and endurance all go together. Just as important, at least as far as I see in Scripture, not only you need to believe God, you need to have it within you that you're going to continue to believe God in order for that salvation. And not just the salvation of your soul. What is salvation? It's deliverance. And God delivers in so many ways. He delivers us from sin. He delivers us from temptation. He delivers us from sickness. He delivers us from confusion, from despair. For us to see that deliverance, we need to be people who endure. Matthew 24, verse 13, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. A lot of people, this was one of the greatest sorrows that I have in my heart. When I see some, and there's no greater joy. And if I could only see one thing happen in an individual's life, I want to see them to come to faith in Jesus. To repent of their sin and ask Christ to come into their lives. And then my hope and my prayer for them after they make that commitment, that decision, is that they keep that commitment for the rest of their lives. For he who endures to the end shall be saved. Because unfortunately, to my sorrow, but even greater yet, to the sorrow of God, there have been many people who have come to Jesus Christ as their Savior, genuinely so. They had people accept Christ, tears coming down their eyes, calling out to Jesus. So only after a few days or months or sometimes even years, reject Christ as their Savior. I don't believe anymore. Return back to the life that they once lived. He who stands firm to the end shall be saved. Endurance accomplishes great things. When we endure, when our prayers, when our obedience is coupled with endurance, God will always do something. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. One of the most discouraging things to talk about here in just a few moments, and we've talked about it before, it's been a constant theme, but when we're believing God for something, sometimes things don't change, and many times things get worse. And we're wondering, all the praying that I'm doing, all the sharing that I'm doing, trying to minister the Word of God, all the struggle that I had against doubt, I found doubt is almost like a being where you have a struggle with sometimes, and you've got to keep him down or her down. I'm not going to give in to that. I'm going to continue to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, fighting the good fight of faith. And then you see nothing, or things get worse, and the feeling comes in your heart, I've wasted so much time in doing this. Remember God's word and God's promise. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Jesus said it this way in Revelation 2, verse 10, to the persecuted church, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Some of you, in fact, and one of the most important things that we believe for, that we struggle for, is the salvation of our friends and our families, those who are near and dear to our hearts. And some of you have prayed for years for people you love who seem as hard against the gospel today as they did the first day that you prayed. You may not see that until the day of your death. They might not, depending on how old they are or when your time is, they might not come to Christ until after you die. Does not the book of Hebrews chapter 11 talk about how the people of faith, some of them died before receiving a promise? But they were what? They were faithful. And why were they faithful? Because they had endurance. They continued to believe God no matter what. They walked by faith and not by sight. Don't give up. Endure. If you endure, God will reward. You may not see it in this lifetime, but let me tell you, we're not living for rewards now. Amen? Our treasure is laid up in heaven. And bless God, you will not believe the things you will see when you appear before Jesus face to face, if you endure. And when we endure, the Bible teaches us that endurance brings about not just a harvest and not just a blessing, but an abundant blessing. Amen? Galatians 6, 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I plant tomatoes every year. Well, I try to plant tomatoes every year. Let me tell you, if I plant a tomato plant, and all I got was one tomato every year, you think I would waste my time planting tomatoes? Absolutely not. I want a lot of tomatoes. In fact, one year, I couldn't believe it. There was a time I was picking 50 tomatoes a day. It was incredible. Never had that success. Six plants. I won't go into the story. I don't know what I did. I wish I did, because they were great. When we're faithful, when we're believing God, sowing seeds of righteousness, sowing seeds of the Spirit, believing God, obeying, praying, Not only will God bless, but the promises of God is that He'll bless in abundance. God will not only give, but give you so much more. And don't think solely in natural terms. God is so much more than that. Supernatural. Changes of the heart. Things that money can't buy, that science can't figure out. God can do. Don't, but only if you don't give up. You don't stop praying. You don't stop believing. But we have this issue of fatigue. We're involved with this battle. We're involved in a war, actually, and there are many battles in a war. And in a war, very few are like the war in 1967, which lasted only 6 days. Now, I was alive at that time, but I don't remember it, being only 3 years old. Not quite, actually. But can you imagine? 6 days. I think as believers, we have a mindset that, you know, when we pray and we read those scriptures of promise, amen, that God will deliver, God will heal, God will restore, God will do all these things. And sometimes we as preachers add to this, feed this. We think not only is God going to move, but He's going to move yesterday. He's going to move right now. And we forget that a day with God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, and that He has a plan and a purpose, a time and a season for everything. And it doesn't always line up with the way we want. And sometimes we have to walk through a valley before we get to the mountaintop, and we learn things in the valley. Wars generally last years, even decades. And wars are unpredictable, as I mentioned earlier. Oftentimes, the beginning of a war, there is the knowledge and expectation that we're the good guys, we're going to win. And then we suffer more than a bloody nose. Think of, in the Old Testament, Moses and Pharaoh. Moses went to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Anointed man of God, prophet. Had with him supernatural signs. Demonstrated one before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's response was finished. It was a done deal. It was going to happen, but Pharaoh's response wasn't, okay, Moses, go ahead, your people can go. Not only did he not let them go, he made their job much more harder. Their responsibility was to make bricks. Pharaoh provided all the straw to make bricks. Pharaoh said, I'm no longer going to provide the straw. You're going to have to provide your own straw. But you're going to have to make the same amount of bricks. Making the affliction of the Israelite slaves all the harder. Think of the Revolutionary War. I didn't do a whole lot of study for it, but what I remember from history and just common sense, the British Army was much more skilled, much more advanced, much more powerful than the revolutionaries. And as I remember through history, the first few battles of the Revolutionary War were not very successful for the Patriots. And they easily could have got discouraged, and I imagine many did. Why are we fighting this war? Let's just buckle down. But they endured many years. And we have the free country that we have today. Civil War, the same thing. The South took the North by surprise. Looking at one point to perhaps an inevitability of a divided country. And had Lincoln and the Union given in, our country could look much different than it does today. You know what? One of the greatest, and I've never been in the military. I've never studied the art of war or anything of that nature, any type of strategy. But as far as just my own opinion, one of the greatest tactics that there is to winning a war is endurance, is waiting out your opponent and hanging in just long enough for them to say, this isn't worth it, I give up. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, when the Soviets tried to invade Afghanistan and were unsuccessful against, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, the Mujahideen, it was the weariness of fighting the Afghans in their own country that finally moved the Soviets to give up. The enemy, whichever enemy that we face, knows that he's defeated, but has used against many people that same effective tactic of trying to outlast the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't have endurance, we will not overcome. How do we overcome fatigue? And fatigue attacks us in so many ways. Fatigue, of course, is emotional. Instead of being steady and clear-minded, we're ravaged by fear, doubt, anger. I don't know about you, but I have found in my life that the best time to make a decision is when I'm not angry or I'm not fearful, when my emotions are not running high. But when we've been fighting a battle for a long time, we do get emotional, and it can cloud our judgment. Fatigue attacks our mental capabilities, our ability to think. And our mind is very important in the battle that we wage. When we pray, it's important to concentrate. And it's difficult when we're mentally tired to pray. Fatigue affects our relationships. When you go through something, your family goes through it with you. Your job is affected by the stresses that are in your life. The church and the ministry you're involved with does as well. And of course, there's spiritual fatigue. When we're fighting a battle, and I think this is part of the battle, the enemy tries to come in and we wonder, do I have enough faith? Is there sin in my life? Why isn't God answering my prayer? And we try crazy things. You know, maybe I'm just not saying the right words when I pray. Or maybe I'm not praying long enough. Or maybe I need to say this when I pray. Or memorize this scripture. And I'm not saying prayer is wrong. But what happens when we do that, we're trusting in works how to reach God rather than trusting in God Himself. Perverting our spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then don't negate physical fatigue as it relates to your spiritual battles, because it does affect you. When you're exhausted, it affects your body. It just doesn't cause you to be a little more sleepy. Many health problems can come with stress and fatigue. Limiting your ability to fight the good fight of faith that Jesus Christ has caused you to fight. Very quickly now, fatigue is something that we can overcome. God has provided for us. First off, we need to understand that we're flesh, that we're subject to weakness. God said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, that man is flesh. Jesus commenting on our makeup as human beings, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you know when he said that? He said that in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he asked his disciples to pray for 1 hour. Now, 1 hour isn't long when you're watching a ball game or, I was going to say soap opera, but you don't watch those, do you? Or playing ball or doing something like that. 1 hour isn't long at all, but for some reason, 1 hour of prayer is long. I'm not going to get on that this morning. But why did they not fulfill the call of God to pray with them just for 1 hour? They were tired. And Jesus stated why they were tired. They weren't lazy. They weren't loafs. It was late at night, and their flesh overcame them. We need to understand we're in this battle, but we're not supermen and superwomen. We're flesh. We're going to get tired. And so there needs to be this understanding. And so because we're flesh, because we're weak, we get tired, we can get angry, we can get emotional, and so on and so forth, we need to act accordingly. Which means that we need to pace ourselves. That we need to take periods of rest. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, "Be still or rest before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carried out their wicked schemes." One of the worst things that we can do in the spiritual struggles that we have in wrestling not with flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, and so on, is allow all of our prayer time to be focused on our struggle and not focused on ourselves. Or we get down and pray and instead of spending time with Jesus, worshiping Him, and worship isn't just something that we should do on Sunday mornings, it should be a daily practice in our life. Reading the Word of God, not just to find scriptures that relate to that battle, and we should do that. Whatever you're dealing with, a financial battle, a spiritual battle, a sin battle, a family battle, there is a scripture. But when we just focus on all those scriptures and we cease just reading and studying the Word of God just to know more of who Jesus is and allow the Word of God to grow in our lives and to bear fruit, we're on the fast track to exhaustion. We need to rest in God. We need to take care of our bodies, our minds, but above all, we need to spend time with the Lord just to know Jesus and just to receive more from Christ. Thirdly, we need to seek help of other brothers and sisters. I think of the man Aaron, the man Moses, rather. Once again, in the Old Testament, the Israelites were fighting a war. And all wars, and this is something that we must remember, all wars are spiritual wars, and they need God. I don't care how smart or how talented you are, if you're to do anything for the kingdom, you need God or the anointing of the Spirit upon your life. In Israel, as they fought, as long as Moses' hands were raised unto God. As long as he interceded for them, they prevailed. But when his arms got tired, the enemy began to prevail against them. And Aaron and Hur got an idea, the high priest, and I'm not sure who Hur was. They came and they propped up Moses' arms.